Good evening, Rock Church. How is everybody tonight? Hey, give it up for that band, will ya? Man! It's like I don't have a job anymore. These guys, if you don't know them, they've been working so hard, they are officially known right now as the B-Band. But you guys are so great. You sounded amazing. It did my heart just so good to come in here and sing to Jesus. If you guys are new tonight, I am not the pastor of this church. In fact, our two pastors, Steve McEnroy and Bill Young, are in Mexico on a short-term mission trip, building houses for the poor. And they've asked me, yeah, it's a good thing. They've asked me to fill in tonight, so you guys get me. All right, so what we've been talking about is the book of Galatians. Tonight I get the honor and the privilege of finishing this book with the last chapter, Galatians chapter 6. Now, if Paul were to sum up the entire book of Galatians, guys, go ahead and take out your notes out of your bulletins if you haven't. If Paul were to start out or say, sum up the entire book of Galatians with one word, I really think it would be this: Jesus, 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 Jesus has done this, Jesus has done that. Jesus, say it with me now, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what Paul would say. If you could sum up the whole book of Galatians, all six chapters, in one word, I think it would be the word in person of Jesus. So let me give you guys a story to kind of tie this in. A while ago, there were 10 of us, if you could put this picture on the screen, that went to Costa Rica. Now, my sister Paige, if you don't know my sister Paige, she got a harebrained idea to say, you know what, I got a birthday coming, and some people like to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Some people like to go to clubs. Some people like to go dancing for their birthday. My sister Paige wanted to go to Costa Rica. So after a lot of prayer, and Paige, are you crazy? You want to go to Costa Rica? After all these things, 10 of us decided to go, you know what, I think we should. We should pick up and go to Costa Rica. So here's the plan. There was me, 7 girls, if you saw in that picture, and then there were going to be 2 more people who were going to meet us in Costa Rica. Okay, they were going to fly in a day later. And our plan was, is for the 8 of us to get onto an airplane, fly out to San Jose, Costa Rica, stay the night, rent a rickety van, drive 5 hours through the Congo, okay, and then land in a little place called Tamarindo. Now, Tamarindo promised to be full of oceans and sunsets and all these beautiful things, but we had to fly into San Jose, get a van, and drive 5 hours. So we thought, okay, I think that's crazy. 1 guy, 7 girls, none of us speak Spanish. Sounds like a great idea. Chuck E. Cheese would have been a lot better idea is what I'm thinking, right? So, okay, so we, 8 of us, we get on an airplane, and we fly to San Jose, and we land, we get our little shuttle and such, and we make our way to our hotel room, and everything's good. We eat dinner, and we wake up the next day, and Paige had already gone and gotten the van. She'd already figured it all out, and it's like, okay, here's what we got to do. Get in the van from San Jose, drive 5 hours on this paved highway, make our way to Tamarindo, straight shot, baby, nothing. It's like, awesome. So we all gather into the van, but before we do, I say to Paige, you know what, we should probably go get some directions to find out exactly if that's the right thing we should do, is get on this highway or whatever. So Paige and I, we get out of the van, we go into the hotel, we talk to the concierge, and we say, okay, what's the quickest way and the easiest way to get to Tamarindo? He said, oh, it's so easy. All you have to do is go outside of our little driveway here, take a left, take an immediate right, and you're on a highway, straight shot to Tamarindo, no problem. I'm thinking, awesome. But don't get lost. I'm sorry? You don't want to get lost. You don't want to get in San Jose. You guys are 8 people, obviously tourists. You don't want to get lost in San Jose. You don't know where you're going. You don't speak the language, whatever. So I'm thinking, 7 women, 1 guy, we're dead. All right. Paige is thinking, easy. We can just get on the freeway. It's going to be fine. So he said, it's an easy thing. All you do is come out of the driveway, take a left, take a right, straight shot on the highway to Tamarindo. You guys will get there no problem. Awesome. We get into the van. Paige starts the van, has no exhaust system, so it's like this. What's going on in this van, right? Somehow, between the easy directions of take a left, take a right, straight shot to Tamarindo, we somehow get that wrong, okay? Somehow. We go out, we take an immediate right, straight down a one-way street. There's like semis coming at us and chickens the size of dogs and stuff running out. And I'm thinking, we're going to die. This is crazy. At first, we're all laughing, right? It's like, let's just find our way back to the main highway and things will be good. Let's just turn around. That's what you'd be thinking. Okay, you can't turn around. Okay, the streets are about the size of my human body and you cannot turn around. Okay, there's people coming this way, traffic coming that way, chickens, honestly, huge chickens coming at us. And the deeper and deeper we go, the more and more lost we're getting in the streets of San Jose, exactly where the concierge said, don't get lost. If you get lost, lock your doors. Okay? So I'm in fear in my head. We're 5 minutes into this amazing trip, and I'm scared to death. We start driving. At first, it's laughing. You know, it's like, oh, we just got to turn around. But the more and more we turn, there's no street signs. We can't get back to that main highway. So we keep going around and around and around, further and further away from our main highway, and deeper into poverty, into dog-sized chickens, into garbage. I mean, it's pretty freaky. So all of a sudden, about 35 minutes into it, I'm thinking, okay, somehow we've got to find somebody in San Jose, Costa Rica, who speaks some English. I see a bus. It says Turismo on it. I'm thinking, Turismo, sounds like tourist. I'm going to get out, Paige. Let's park the van, keep it running, lock the doors. You and I are going to go out. We're going to knock on this bus and see if they can find us or lead us back to the main highway. Good idea. We both hop out. We lock the doors, 6 girls safely inside or whatever. We walk over. I knock on the van. Excuse me, do you speak English? He says, see. I go, see, I understand that. Can you tell me how to get back to the main highway? Next thing you know, he starts talking in Spanish. I'm like, again, you can't understand what I'm saying. I'm going to die out here. Paige, let's get back into the van. We get back into the van. We keep traveling more and more and more, getting more and more lost. Okay, so now none of us are anything but a little bit scared right now because we can't find any road signs. We honestly cannot find our way, and these streets are kind of going like this, up and up and up and up. So I go, let's pray. So we make the decision right there. Okay, everybody, let's hush up. Let's pray to God. God, please help us find our way back. Lord, we just want to get to the main highway. Keep us safe. We're all a little frightened. You know all the ends of the earth. God, find us back to the main highway. So we say amen. The next thing you know, we see this petrol station. We see a gas station, which is rare in the streets of San Jose because everything is like a village. So it's like, oh, there it is, like an oasis. Maybe they can speak some English. So we park the van. Paige and I, we get out, and we go up, and we say, do you speak English? And they say no. Somehow, I believe, that if we speak our own language louder, they'll get it. I don't know what that is. It's kind of like the cell phone. You know, you're breaking up, and you talk louder, and you think it. No, no. So Paige suddenly goes, do you know how to get to the aeropuerto? What are you doing? They're not deaf. They don't understand the language. Can you get us back to the main highway? Why are you screaming? And they're talking in Spanish, you know, and somehow they go left and then right, and they're gesturing and things like that. And they're just saying, you know, we don't understand it. This is what we hear. Over the hill, Paige says. Are you telling me take a left? What? Somehow we go, thank you very much. Gracias. You know, Paige, gracias. Gracias. All right, so we get back into the van. Again, I'm a little scared. You know, one guy, I've got some rage, but come on. You know, it's not going to happen if we get in trouble. So I just go, let's just keep going. And somehow, by the grace of God, we take a left, we take a right, and we shimmy our way up to the top of a hill, and we look down, and it's like, oh, there's the main highway. Oh, yeah! Nobody's going to die tonight! You know? So we make our way back to the highway, you know, and we get in our rickety van, and we start straight shot, baby, to Tamarindo 5 hours later. No lefts, no turns, and it's paradise, right? Awesome. Now, we've been studying Galatians. Let me set this story up in a way that we can understand with what Paul has been going up against, okay? So let's say the 8 of us get lost or the 9 of us get lost, and we're out there in the van, and we go through turns, and we're scared, and we pray, and all these things, and we finally find our way back to the highway. and we're excited. It's like, oh man, look at that highway. That's the one that we need to get on. We know we need to get on that highway. Straight shot from that highway, then we can be there. But you know what? We've been kind of traveling here in Costa Rica, and I think Costa Rica looks a little bit more like what we've been through. A little bit more like those hills, a little bit scarier, a little bit harder. I see that paved highway. I see that straight shot. But I think that since we've been experiencing Costa Rica, since we've seen their transit, since we know it a little bit better, I think that it should be more like that. Our travel, though as good as it would be to have that straight highway, that one shot to get from here to there, even though that would be great, you know, I'm just not used to it. But you know what? Wouldn't it be great if we did have a highway? Oh yeah, it would be great. What if we dug our own highway? I mean, I know we see this highway over here. I know we can see it. But, you know, we've experienced this. So we know this way. This is the way we're used to. It would be good to dig that highway, to get that highway. But that's not the one. We need to dig our own. Hey, Kristen, what do you have in your backpack? Oh, I've got a hairbrush. Oh, good. Hey, Paige, what do you have? Oh, I've got a toothpick. Hey, Kim, what do you have? I've got a CD player. And the next thing you know, we start trying to dig our own way. We start trying to just get it with tools that we are not even meant to have. We can't even dig our way because we've got toothpicks and hairbrushes. We don't have shovels. We've got nothing. And we foolishly see that highway and dig our own way. Paul has been saying the same thing over and over in the book of Galatians to all the people. Look, why are you trusting in what you've got? Why are you trusting in your toothpicks and in your sacrifices and in your rituals and in everything that you've got? Don't you see that Jesus has paved the way entirely? That's his whole message. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Look, you guys have your toothpicks, you've got your rituals, you've got your ceremonies, but Jesus has paved the way entirely. Galatians 6:14 says just that. Paul says, I will never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Or AKA, I really got a trusty hairbrush here. I think we're really doing a good job with my toothpick and my CD player. We got a long way to go, but aren't I the best digger? No. Paul's going, I'm gonna boast in the one who paved the way. I'm not gonna boast in myself. It's never gonna work. I'm gonna boast in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who? Jesus, who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ died for sins once for all people, the righteous who is God, for the unrighteous to bring you to God. And finally, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What Paul is saying is, look, what matters is Jesus. That's the only thing. Don't you see that Jesus has paved the way entirely? Jesus, 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 don't you want that easy route? Wouldn't it be good if God was good enough to give us that easy route? So if the entire book of Galatians can be summed up in the word of Jesus, okay, the entire book, if Paul could go, Jesus, 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 our Christian walk, what we do when we believe in Jesus Christ, our entire faith can be summed up in one word. Oh, you know what? Let me go back to this. I love this quote. This has paved the way entirely. Christ has accomplished the perfect and completed work of salvation. And only that work can be of any spiritual benefit to a person. No act, no ritual, no self-inflicted sacrifice can add the smallest value to what Christ has done, and instead, every such flesh-motivated and flesh-oriented activity is an offense to God and brings his condemnation rather than his approval. It's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. And so if Galatians can be summed up in the word and the person of Jesus, our entire faith can be summed up in one word. Grace. Write it down. Our entire faith can be summed up with this word. Grace. Do you know that this is Paul's final word Galatians chapter 6, verse 18. This is the last thing that he says. This is the last out of our 8-week series, what we've been studying. The very last thing that Paul says is, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits, brother. Amen. You see, what the world tells us is that it's about us, right? We have got to somehow dig our way. We have got to somehow be good enough, be righteous enough, be perfect enough. We have got to somehow be good enough. God says, be bold in my grace. Be bold in my grace. It's about recognizing that Jesus Christ loves us so much that he saw that there was no way that we could pave that road to heaven, and that all we were armed with are toothpicks and hairbrushes and CD players, and as hard as we would dig, we would never get it. And he says, quit digging, and recognize that I love you so much that I'm going to pave the way entirely. It's about knowing that so much that that love of Jesus explodes in your life, where you go, oh, you really mean there is that highway? Well, what about this? No, there's that highway. And it explodes in your life, and you live your life in response to Jesus. Steele, shh, I did it for you. I paved the way for you. Be bold in my grace. It's about 1 John 4:10, our whole faith. This is love. You know, what is love? This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son first as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Isn't that great? Isn't that, God, I want to love you more. God, I want to love you more. And though that heart may be good, the more and more we try to earn God's love, the more and more we say, God, I want to make my way to heaven on my own, the more and more we forget that God paved the way, the more and more we forget it, it's about his grace and about him loving us first and paving the way for us. We say we're not good enough. God says, grace is. What about that? Grace. Second point. Jesus has come to give you life. So, Jesus has come to pave the way. Remember, Paul's going, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about Jesus, Jesus. Jesus has come to pave the way. Jesus has come to tell you to be bold in his grace. And Jesus has then come to give you life. I love this. John chapter 10, verse 6. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. John 11, 25. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 6, 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then my very favorite, John 10, 10. I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. See, Jesus Christ has not just come down to pave the way and to give us grace. He's come down to give us life. That's what he says. I've come down to give you life. And on top of that, God is our good dad. We learned this a few weeks ago. In Galatians chapter 4, Bill was saying, you know, so often we go, God, I want to, we go to him, we go, Father, I beseech thee, I want to pray. God says, no, you pray to me in such a way that it cries out, Daddy, Daddy. In Galatians chapter 4, Abba, Father, he says, I am so interested in relationship with you. I want you to talk to me so much that I want you to come to me and go, Daddy, Daddy, I need you. That's the God that we have. Daddy, Daddy, I need you. He is so interested in relationship, God is, with you and I. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, he says, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows even the very amounts of hair on our head. He's so close to us. He's so near to us. He says, I'm your good dad. I've come to give you life. I want you to call me Daddy, Daddy. I want relationship with you. That's your God. Knowing that that's our God, that that's the premise, that he's come to give us life, that he's come to be our good dad, knowing that, let's read Galatians 6, 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Do you know that this is the answer to the great sin debate? That's what I've titled, The Great Sin Debate. What is that? You guys know it. If Jesus Christ has indeed come okay? And he's paved the way entirely. If we can be bold in his grace, if he has forgiven our past sins, if Jesus has indeed forgiven our present sins, and Jesus has forgiven our future sins, if it's all about grace and he's paved the way entirely and there's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation and he's forgiven all of it, then why don't we sin? Have we asked ourselves that? Why, if that's the case, if Jesus Christ has forgiven my past, my present, and my future, why am I not totally getting wasted tonight? Why am I not doing this? Why am I not part of this immoral relationship? What is it? Why am I not living to that sinful nature? If he's forgiven everything, everything that I could ever do, why don't I sin? It's the great sin debate. Oh, there's grace, I'll binge. Oh, there's grace, but why don't we sin? What's the motivator? Look, here's a good example. In Galatians 6, he says, you reap what you sow, right? Let's say you had a handful of pumpkin seeds, and what you really wanted for some strange reason is a beautiful pumpkin patch. So you take your pumpkin seeds, and you stick them in the ground, and you put dirt over them, and you water them, and you tend them, and the sunlight comes in and whatnot. And the next thing you know, harvest time comes, and what comes up is strawberries. What? I've planted pumpkin seeds? There should be pumpkins in my garden. No. I want an apple tree. So you take some apple seeds. You plant them in the ground, you tend the ground, you water the ground, you make sure it gets plenty of sunlight. Pretty soon the tree starts to sprout, you're getting very excited about the fact that you're going to have nice juicy apples, but what comes off of it is a bunch of oranges. Wouldn't that be strange? Yeah. You know what? If you're going to put pumpkin seeds in the ground, you're going to get pumpkins. If you're going to put apple seeds in the ground, you're going to get some apples. That's what Jesus is saying. I've come to give you life. I'm your good dad. Look. If you sow sin in your life, what you will harvest is death. If you have a bunch of seeds of sin in your life that you're holding on to, and you're saying this sin after this sin after this sin after this, God says, you're going to harvest death. But if you sow spirit, if you sow me, if you follow me, Jesus Christ, you are going to harvest life. Look, the scripture says it. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death. What you earn for your sin is death. If you sow sin, you harvest death. Galatians 6, 8 says, if you sow to please the Spirit, Jesus Christ, from that Spirit will reap eternal life. Look, this truth is not just eternal. Look, the answer to the great sin debate of why we don't sin is because we have a God who has come to give us life. We have a God that loves us so much, that cares about us so much, that he even knows the numbers on our head, how many hairs we have. He cares about us so much, in relationships so much, that he says, listen, you can sin, and that's not going to affect your eternal destination. If you know me, you're going to heaven. But listen, I've come so that you might have life. Why do we always think, me included, that all these truths are just eternal? Why can't I believe that if God is good enough to secure my salvation, that he doesn't care about my day-to-day? That's what he's saying. Listen, if you're holding on to this sin steel, if you keep doing that, brother, it's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to death. And I've come to give you life. Don't you believe that? Not just eternally, every day. Every single day. Oh, that is good news. Jesus Christ says, if you follow me, I will bring you life. Look, if you sow sin in your life, you go death. What does that mean? Well, it could be death of your character. Let's hit it home. Keep lying at your job. Could be death of your job. Keep lying to your wife or your husband. Death of your marriage. Keep looking at this and that and this and that and death, death, death of your joy. God goes, I've come to bring you life. Follow me. Don't you believe that? Isn't God good enough to care about our day-to-day? If he wants us to call him Daddy, Daddy, don't you think that he cares enough about us every single day that he cares about not just our eternal destination, but the way that we walk, where we're going here on this earth? Look, in every situation, Jesus is the best choice. I'm going to read Psalm 23. in every situation that you have, be it if you're in the worst situation you've ever been in today, or you're in the best situation that you could think of, Jesus Christ is always the best choice. I want to give you a picture of our God. Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul." Don't you see that he cares for us here? "He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," even when we're here and we're in the thick of it, "even then I will fear no evil, for you are with me here. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely God's goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jesus Christ has come to give us life. And in every single situation, the best choice that you have is to follow him. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus has a harvest time. That's your next point. I know what you're thinking. You know what, Steele? I can get behind the fact that God loves me. I can get behind the fact that he's got life for me. I can even believe you, Steele, when you say that he's paved the way entirely. But you know what, Steele? I've been reading my Bible every day. You know what else? I've been praying every day. I've been going to small groups. I've been going to church. I've been doing everything that I know how to do. And you know what? My life still sucks. And I'm still single. Or I'm still married. Or I don't have enough money. Whatever it could be. How many? You know what? I've been doing this. And it still stinks. My life still stinks, Steele. I think you're full of it. If God's come to give me life, I haven't seen any of it. If I'm following God and if I'm reaping the Spirit in my life, then why am I still in this situation? Why am I still in that situation? Why am I still unhappy? I think you're full of it. I think you're full of it. I go, sometimes life is hard. Listen, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says this: "Let us not become weary in doing good." Listen, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You know what the problem is? When we say that, when I think that, I'm tired of this, I'm tired, and I've been doing, we want to sow and we want to harvest on the same day. That's the problem. You know what, Steele? I've read my Bible 4 times today, and God still hasn't spoken to me. God, Steele, I've been praying over and over and over again, and God still hasn't answered my prayers. Steele, I've been married for a year now, and I still don't like my spouse. Do you see what I'm saying? We want to sow, and we want to harvest on the same day. God says, listen, at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. When I was a kid, I was a cute kid. When I was 5 years old, I went to kindergarten. I want you guys to get this picture. I'm about this high. My backpack's about 2 feet above my head, running into kindergarten. I run in there, and our teacher is at the front of the class, and what she has for everybody is this great big sunflower, all right? She looks at all of us, and she says, "Boys and girls, today we're going to plant seeds, and pretty soon you're going to have a sunflower just like this." Oh, I want what you got, right? 5 years old, take my huge backpack off, and she goes around. She passes around to all the kids a little clear cup with some soil in it. And she gives us some seeds, and we plant it, and we put some water on it, and it takes a grand total of about 4 seconds. And I look at my cup. Look at the flower. Cup. Flower. I got nothing. My cup's broken. The seed's busted. Watered it. Put it in the dirt. You got something bigger than I got, because this isn't working. Oh, Steele, you just go home and keep watering it and put it in some sunlight and it'll grow big. All right. I take my cup after school. I go home, run into my mom with my gigantic backpack on. I say, "Hi, Mom. The teacher said that pretty soon we're going to have a sunflower in this cup, and all we have to do is water it and put it in some sunlight." "Oh, good, Steele. Come on, let's go do that." So we water it. We put it in some sunlight on the windowsill. Still a cup. There's no flower in this. Here's a footnote. If you're a teacher, do not give a five-year-old a cup with a seed in it and tell him you're going to have a flower one day. It's the meanest thing in hindsight. So mean, you don't do that to somebody. 5 years old. Give me a cup with a seed in it and say it's going to grow? Man. So that whole day I'm sitting in front of my window sill like a crazy five-year-old kid wondering when my flower's going to grow. So the next day I come down, still nothing, right? Nothing. No seed, no flower, nothing. I can't see anything. It's just a cup with some dirt in it. The next day I come down, nothing. Day after day after day, I had resolved that this was the dumbest sunflower I've ever seen. I'm 5 years old. I can see dumb from not dumb. Right? So in time, I pretty much just forgot about it. I kind of just forgot that I had a sunflower, and I think just by my mom's kindness, she probably just watered the cup. And one day, I'm walking out the door, you know, or walking past my kitchen sink, and, oh, is it? I got a green speck in my cup. There's something green in there. Started to grow. You see, it started to grow a little bit. In the proper time, it started to grow. And pretty soon, it got big enough that we could plant it in the yard, and I think my mom just popped it out later and threw it away. But the point was, so we did have a grand sunflower, and it did grow at the proper time. We live in a world where we say to ourselves, I can hop onto the internet, and I can see nudity, buy a car, get a house, grocery shop, all within 40 seconds of each other. We want it our way, the right way, the fresh way, the fast way, the hot way, or the highway. We want it right, and we want it now. We're accustomed to this. In the culture that we live in, we want to sow our seeds and harvest our crop in the same day. And if you can't give it to me fast, and you can't give it to me fresh, and you can't give it to me my way, then I give up. Steele, I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of doing good. I'm tired of my addiction, and you know what? I think I want to go. I'm tired of following Jesus. I'm tired of... So I give up. I'm over it. You know, I prayed to God once. Oh, yeah? How long did that last? About 3 months. Uh-huh. You know, I accepted Christ as my Savior one time, and then I thought that that church just really wasn't for me. How long did you go there? About 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. What do you... God goes, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. I have a proper harvest time for you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Paved the way. Gives us grace. Gives us life. Tells us to hold on because he's got the proper time. Last point. Jesus has made us new. Jesus, 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 Jesus has made us new. Galatians 6:15. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Neither our customs or not our customs. Our rituals or our non-rituals. None of it matters. It means nothing. What counts, Paul says, is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Listen to me. Do you know that if you've accepted Christ, the moment that you ask him, that you say, God, come into my life as my personal Lord and Savior, even though I don't entirely know what that means, I trust you and you alone for salvation. Do you know that the minute that you do that, you're brand new? Not just forgiven one time. You're not just new for tonight. I don't understand it, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, it comes in and he recreates your spirit. You're not just fixed, you're brand new. You are brand new if you know Christ and you have perfect union with Jesus Christ. Perfect union. You know what that means? You and I, we're right with God. Oh.
We're right with God. We're okay with the big guy. Do you know that? If we know Jesus Christ, we're okay because we're brand new. We are brand new in perfect union with Christ. You know what else that means? That means we have direct access to Christ anytime we want. Direct access to the God of wonders beyond all galaxies. We don't need to go through our customs. We don't need to go through our dances. We don't need to go through repent, because we're brand new. And God says, you're new and you're right with me. Come talk with me. Come talk with me right now, right here tonight. We can tap into Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, the maker of it all. If you know Christ, you can do that. I don't know how to pray. Dear God, I don't know how to pray. Done. You just did it. You have perfect access to God. Perfect access to God. You know what else that means? Whenever that sin, that death crawls into our life, you know what I mean? Even the willing ones that we have, God still sees you as perfect. He looks at you through this flesh and he sees a spirit and he sees something perfect and he sees it beautiful. That sin still leads to a death, of course, because we live on this earth. But Christ goes, you're perfect, and that sin has no power over you. That sin has no power over you because I live inside of you. You're brand new. Satan goes, you're a sinner, you're a dirty dog. And Christ goes, no. You're perfect, and you're beautiful. Come talk to me. I love you. Come talk to me. You're brand new. You know what? We need to be new in our minds. Because this is where the war is raged. Right here. I don't feel new. You are new. Ephesians 4:23 through 24. Be made new in the attitude of your minds. And put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and in holiness. I don't feel new. You are new. Change it up here. Do not live your life in according to how we feel after sin after sin. You live your life in accordance to God's truth. Because you are new. Look, have you ever seen the movie Pinocchio? If you haven't, I mean, come on. Go see the movie. Okay. So the whole story, right, is about a puppet. And through his whole life, all he wanted to be was a real boy. All right? That's kind of the long and the short of it. He just wanted to be a real boy. And through all the, you know, chain of events, one day he actually is a real boy. Okay? And he rejoices and he dances with Geppetto and his dad. And he goes, I'm a real boy now. And he runs out. Imagine this. He runs out to his friends and he says, you know what? I'm a real boy now. No, you're not. You're a puppet. No. No, I'm a real boy. No, you're not, Pinocchio. Does this feel more normal to be free? Or does it feel more normal to have those strings attached to you? Oh, I guess it does kind of feel weird to be like this. It's because you're a puppet. And you know what? You're a liar too. Pinocchio, you're a liar and a puppet. And you're more used to those strings than you are being a real boy. You're not a real boy. You don't even know how to walk. You're a liar. My dad said I was real. I don't care what your dad says. You're a liar. And you should move the way the strings lead you because you lived your whole life like it, Pinocchio. Does this feel normal or does this feel normal? So Pinocchio starts to believe. Oh, yeah. I guess I'm not a real boy now. Maybe I am just a puppet. And a liar too. Satan goes, you're nothing. You're nothing. You're a liar. You're filthy. You're sick. You disgust me and you disgust God. You know what you are? You're exactly what your addiction says you are. You know what else you are? You're this and you're that. And then we blow it. Oh, we want to live for God. Oh, we want to. But Satan is the first one there tempting you and the first one condemning you. And all of a sudden, he starts saying things like, you know what? You're not a prayer warrior. Why don't you go back to your computer and binge on your porn? You know what? You're not a good wife. You're a horrible wife. You're terrible. Why don't you just live like that? Don't believe that you're free. Look at your actions. Look at you. You're a liar. You're a thief. You're an addict. You're disgusting. And you gross out God. And pretty soon, we start believing him. And we start living like puppets. We are free. We are new. Jesus Christ has paved the way entirely, and he has come to give us life, come to give us grace, come to tell us there's a proper time, and now he has said, you are new. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We've got to believe it here. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can believe it here so we can live like free men and women. My wife is a teacher, and she went to one of these seminars, and there's a guy who gets in front of everybody, and he said, I want to tell you of a test that we put on some teachers and some students, an experiment that proved to be true. And what the experiment was, the man said, is that we took five average teachers at a huge high school, okay? And we took these five average teachers, and the administration went to the five average teachers and said, you know what? You're the best teachers we've got. You five are the five best teachers we've got. This whole school has to offer. You're the top five. You're top gun, baby. You're the best. And we want to give you five students, five average students. And we want you just to teach these students. You know, the truth was that those teachers were just average. But they believed him. And so they started living and teaching like they were the five best teachers. And you know what? They became the five best teachers. And those students became the top students. Now listen, this principle that I'm trying to tell you is so much deeper than just that, because it's not just believe all you can be and you'll be it. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that Jesus Christ has indeed told you and indeed fulfilled the fact that you are new, that you're forgiven, and it's all about grace, and we need to believe it and live it. So in conclusion, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and the life he brings. It's all about Jesus and his harvest time. And it's all about being new. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, let's pray real quick. Jesus, thank you, God, that you are our good dad. Lord, thank you that you have come to give us life and life abundantly. Lord, thank you that we are brand new in you. God, right now I just ask, Lord, that if there's anybody here tonight that doesn't know you, I just want to talk to you guys for a second. If there's anybody here who doesn't know what I'm talking about, that Jesus Christ has paved the way entirely, but you want to believe that, that you do, you go, Jesus is the only way. That you don't understand it entirely, but you go, I want a free shot, a straight shot to heaven, and I believe that Jesus Christ paved the way entirely, that he died on the cross for me. If you're at that place right now where you haven't made that decision, please just pray this prayer with me. And God knows your heart. It's not magic words, but Jesus Christ, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, in the best way I know how, I ask you to come into my life and make me new. Jesus Christ, make me your son or daughter right now. I believe that you're the only way to heaven. If you just prayed that and asked him to come into your life, you got a straight shot. God, for the rest of us, I pray that the truths of Galatians, of being free and being new, Lord, that they will change our lives and change our hearts every day. God, we say these things in your name. Amen. Let's stand up for one last song.